We're continuing the Shir in Likutei Halachos, Choshen Mishpat, Chelek Aleph, Hilchos Shluchin, Halacha Hei, Paragraph Chof. Rav Nosson Zal is in the middle of discussing the topic of coming close to the Tzaddik and the whole connection between the Tzaddik and the Jewish people. And we were in the middle of speaking about Elisha Hanavi, one of the greatest Tzaddikim of all time, the closest student of Eliyahu Hanavi, the one who took over after him. And Rav Nosson Zal touches on a very delicate topic, mistakes, slight mistakes that were made by Elisha Hanavi. V'alkein, and therefore, based on what we explained in the previous paragraph, Gam Elisha, even Elisha Hanavi, Afal pi shehoya godol benavua ma'oid, even though he was on a very high level of prophecy, Afal Pikein, despite that, Me'oitzim Riboy Hakilkulim Shel Gehazi Talmidoi, because of the major sins and mistakes that his student Gehazi had made, Kamo Sham Rabbi Seinuzal, as the Gemara says, Al Pasuk Vayigash Gehazi Lahodfa, that there was a woman who wanted to approach Elisha Novi to speak to him, and Gehazi pushed her away in a very inappropriate way. Al yidei zeh goram shenofal v'nisrachek me'elisha v'nidche mo'ilomoy. As a result of that, as a result of Gehazi's terrible behavior, it caused him to fall and become distant from Elisha Hanavi and become removed from Olam Haba, to lose his Olam Haba. Kemoy Sham Rabbi Seinuzal, as the Gemara says, in the last parak of Sanhedrin, the parak Chelik, Shehu Echot Me HaHedyoitois She'en Lehem Chelik Lo'olam Haba. The Gemara there lists several kings and several ordinary people who lost their privilege to Olam Haba, and one of them is Gehazi. Umeoitzem Kilkulav. And as a result of the major destruction that this Gehazi caused, al yidei zeh goram shigia gam le'Elisha Rabbi. Through this, he was able to even cause a slight error to his Rebbe Elisha Hanavi. Shenisyaish levakshoi koroi, whereby Elisha Hanavi gave up on Gehazi. And he assumed that this guy cannot be helped, and he gave up on seeking him out properly. Udechofoi b'shtei yodayim, and Elisha Hanavi rejected him, pushed him away with both hands. We know that the Torah teaches us, we've mentioned this in the past, that the correct attitude of a rabbi to a student should be with the left hand to push away, with the right hand to bring close, to maintain a certain respectful distance between the rabbi and student, but at the same time with the stronger hand to bring close. Here, Elisha Hanavi made an exception with Gehazi, where he pushed him away with both hands when he saw how terrible Gehazi was. Machmashero shehu pogum umekulkol ma'oid, because of the fact that Elisha Hanavi saw that Gehazi was terrible betaivas niuf, regarding his relations with women, v'taivas mamayin, and his excessive desire for money. K'mayshekosu binyan, the situation with women, we mentioned just before a few lines ago, how Gehazi acted in a very inappropriate way, pushing a woman away from Elisha Hanavi with his hands, and touching her in a very inappropriate way, and taivas mamayin, regarding the story with Naaman. Naaman was a non-Jewish general in the army at the time of the Goyim, and Naaman contracted leprosy, and he tried to do everything he possibly could to help himself. Every medication, every type of bath, and nothing helped him. At one point, there was a Jewish girl who had been captured by the non-Jews, and she saw his pain and his suffering and everything, and she said to him, maybe you should go to the Jewish tzaddik, to the prophet. Maybe he can help you. So he said, okay, we'll go. He loaded up his horse, his camels and everything with all kinds of gifts, that if the tzaddik should succeed in helping him, he'll reward him the way a general can afford to reward him. And he comes, and Elisha Navi, who was a prophet, didn't need to see him or hear him. As soon as Naaman started approaching the area where Elisha Navi was, Elisha Navi told his student Gehazi, there's somebody coming, he needs a refuah, I don't need to see him. Just tell him to bathe over here in the Jordan River, to dip 7 times, and he'll be okay. Gehazi went out and told this to Naaman, and Naaman wanted to kill someone. What is he, crazy, this tzaddik? Bathe in the dirty Jordania. I bathe in the spiced waters of Damascus. I bathe in the most pure waters that there are in the world, and that couldn't help me. The Jordanian River is going to help me? So one of his servants said to him, Jordanian River or Pluto River? Forget what river. He said so. If this is what the tzaddik said, you've come this far. What's it going to hurt you? Try it. He goes into the water, he dips once, nothing happens. Twice, 3 times, 6 times, nothing happens. On the 7th time he dipped, and his skin turned pure like a baby. The leprosy disappeared completely. Imagine how happy he was, how elated he was. So he comes out of the water, he's right, he can't wait to see the tzaddik and to show him the gifts that he brought for him. Elisha Navi says, I accept nothing. Zero, not interested. I didn't do nothing. Hashem did everything. I'm a messenger from Hashem. Give your praise and thanks to Hashem. That's how a tzaddik responds. And Elisha refused to accept a penny, a gift for the students. Nothing. Have a nice day. Take all your stuff home. Naaman leaves and he starts traveling. Gehazi saw all of these gifts and the wealth and everything. And he couldn't let it go. So he chased after Naaman, and he told him, I know what my rabbi told you, but maybe you're not aware, we got a lot of students here who need a lot of financial help and everything. Maybe, b'chol zot, you can give... Naaman says, you're kidding, my pleasure, my greatest pleasure. Here, take it all. And Gehazi, against the instructions of Elisha Navi, Gehazi went ahead and took gifts from Naaman. You could imagine what we're talking about, what kind of crossing a line. Elisha Navi said no, and Gehazi goes behind his back. How are you going to go behind Elisha Navi's back? Elisha Navi sees across the world. And for these two things, Elisha Navi punished him severely, you know, decided to reject him completely. Afal Pikein. However, even though Gehazi did such terrible things, Amru Rabbi Seinuzal, our rabbis tell us, Sheshogo Elisha Bozer, that Elisha Navi made an error in pushing him away with both hands, in not leaving a little bit of an opening for Gehazi to do tshuva, to come back. Ad Shenechla Machmazeh Kanal, to the point where the Navi tells us that Elisha Navi became ill as a result of how he treated Gehazi. And watch how Rav Nosson Zal explains this now. Ki afal pikein, because even though Gehazi was so bad and terrible and evil, hayotzorich Elisha levakshoy ulechapsoy oid, Elisha Novi still was required to search for him, to seek him out, to try to find good in him, to try to find a way to bring him back. Because Hashem's kindness is infinite, no boundaries, no limits. And if Hashem's kindness isn't, therefore, Elisha Navi should have searched for and tried to draw such a level of kindness from Hashem which would enable him to lift up even Gehazi from his great tumah, from his great impurity, filth, and everything. And then the other incident, which we mentioned the previous year, where Elisha Navi, by curing the water in a particular city, he put a couple of guys out of business. These guys who were importing water from outside the city and charging high prices for it, he put them out of business. And when they realized this, they ran after him and they cursed him. They cursed Elisha Navi. So we said, and the Torah says, Elisha Navi turned around. He took a careful look at them. He saw into their future. He saw that nothing good is destined to come out of these 42 youths. He turned on the fire, and a forest sprang up suddenly, and bears came out of the forest and mauled and destroyed these 42 kids, these 42 youths. So Rav Nosson Oz says, and regarding that incident also, where again, they were evil, they cursed the tzaddik, they made fun of him, they called him Kereach, the bald one, Rachmona Litzlan. Ki afal pi she'elisho histakel bohem, she'ein bohem lachluchis toivo. Because even though Elisha Navi had the ability to look inside of them and to see that there wasn't a single trace of good in them, only a tzaddik of Elisha Navi's caliber could do such a thing. Still, as the Gemara says, al pasuk vayifen bohem, that Elisha Navi turned to them, vayiren, and he saw them, he looked at them. What do you mean he saw? Of course he saw them. The Gemara says he saw inside of them. He saw their neshamos, and he saw that they were rotten, that these 42 youths were rotten, and nothing good was going to be coming out of them. Afal pikein, still, loy hoyo loy lismoy chalzeh, Elisha Navi should not have relied on his X-ray vision, on his Ruach HaKodesh. Rak lechapes ulevakesh gedulas rachme Hashem Yisborach oid. But rather, to search further and deeper into the kindness of Hashem and to be able to reach a level of kindness of Hashem that could even turn around these 42 Rishoim. Ad sheyucha lekariv oisam gamkein, which would enable him even to be makariv these 42. Ki ein ritzoino yisborach klal l'rachek shum beria, because Hashem is not interested at all in pushing away anybody, in rejecting anybody. Rak lekariv, Hashem only wants them to be brought close. As we find many examples in the Torah, Shehikbid Hashem Yisborach al Gdoile Hatzadikim Hanoiroim, whereby Hashem displayed displeasure with great awesome tzadikim al Sheloi Limdu Schus Koroi al Yisrael, over the fact that these great awesome tzadikim were not able to justify, to find the good in the Jewish people when we were at our worst. Kemoi Elio, like the example of Elio Anovi, Kishomar Kanoi Kinesi, when Elio Anovi defended his actions, when he stopped, no rain, no famine. Why? Because I'm taking up the honor, I'm defending the honor of Hashem. They're worshiping idols. They're desecrating the name of Hashem. Hashem said, really, really, you're 100% right. Prepare your student Elisha Anovi to take over. Put him in the bullpen, get him ready to take over. What did I do? What did Elio Navi do? He didn't defend the Jewish people. To prosecute the Jewish people, we got a whole team of experts. We got a Yetzirah and all of his assistants who are perfect. They do a great job. Tzadikim are not supposed to do that. This is a lesson that Rav Nosson Zal is showing us here in an incredible, incredible way. V'chein Hoshea. And also the Gemara tells us about Hoshea Hanavi, that at one point he also spoke negatively about Klal Yisrael and was punished for it. V'Yeshaya and Yeshaya Hanavi, K'moshom Rabbi Senusal, as the Gemara tells us. So we see that this is a test even for the greatest, highest level tzaddikim, to be able to have such a level of patience and tolerance with Klal Yisrael, where Hashem tells the leaders, they're bad news, these Jews, they're very rough. You're gonna have a very difficult time with them. They're gonna make you crazy. And it's tough luck. The tzaddik's job is to see the good in them and to defend them and defend them and defend them, period. Only, as Rav Nosson Zal shows here very clearly. Paragraph Chaf Aleph. V'sehu, and this is why the pasuk goes on to say there, Ve'elisha cholo escholyoi asher yomus bo. That the third time that Elisha Navi got sick, he took ill, and this was the illness from which he would die. Kiho beho talia, because Rav Nosson Zal says these two things are directly dependent on each other. Ki machmas shedocho esgechazi v'satinoikos, because of the fact that Elisha Navi completely rejected Gehazi, and he allowed those 42 youths to be killed by those bears. Shebo ho ikrali de ribui kilkulam shel Gehazi v'tinoikos, whereby all of that was brought about because of Gehazi's terrible actions, and because those 42 youths behaved in a terrible way. Sheloi bikshu acha kedusha satzadik Elisha koroi, whereby they, Gehazi and those 42 youths, did not search for the tzaddik. They didn't search to find the goodness, the greatness of Elisha Navi. Ad shegormu shegia gameilov biatzmoi kanal. And they were so bad to the point where they were even able to push one of Elisha Navi's buttons and to get him to commit a slight error. Through those two major incidents and those two slight mistakes on the part of Elisha Navi, that eventually led for Elisha Navi to take ill and actually pass away. Because it is only within this context that we can refer to Elisha Navi as experiencing death. Aval Elisha biatzmoi bevadai chai v'kayem loylam kanal. Whereas Elisha Navi himself, he's alive and well and kicking. It's only regarding these two incidents and the mistake that Elisha Navi made and how he handled them, regarding that, we can refer the term death to Elisha in a sense. And watch the proof that Rav Nosson Zal gives here. Ki haloyafilu meis gomor shenigbar etzloi v'noga ba'atzmois avagdoshim chai v'komal raglov. Because the Navi tells us, the Navi shows us, that even a dead person, a person who died and was buried near Elisha Navi, and his bones touched the bones of Elisha Navi, and the Torah tells us the guy got up and walked out of his grave and said, okay guys, have a nice day, I'm back. And he began to live again. The person literally came back to life as a result of his bones touching the bones of Elisha Navi if Elisha Navi was dead. So you want to tell me Elisha Navi's dead? If somebody just touching him, a corpse touching Elisha Navi, comes back to life. Kama Shekosev, as it says there in the Pasuk, Vayihi heim koivrimish, that the Jews were in the process of burying somebody, and accidentally the body rolled, and it rolled next to where Elisha Navi was buried, and the guy got up and walked away, came back to life. Hare she'elisha yochoy lahachyois mesim mamish al yidei negiya batzmoisov. So the Torah shows us here that Elisha Navi had the ability to bring a dead person, a physically dead person, back to life by that person's touching Elisha Navi's bones. Mikol shkein, how much more so, shehu biatzmoy loy meis chas v'shom. Elisha Navi was definitely not dead. You cannot refer to him as being dead. Umikol shkein, and how much more so and more so, shehu yochoy lahachyois bnei odom hachayim adayon, that Elisha Navi, after his passing away, has the ability to inject life into people that are living, people who are alive, but they're spiritually asleep or spiritually dead, lahachyoisam, to give life to them, behashoras toirosoi v'ruach kotshoi, with the remainder of his Torah, with the Torah that he left behind in the world, and the Ruach HaKodesh that he left behind in his Sforim, in his students. Rak, however, there's one but. But, however, shetzrichin levakshoi ma'oid v'kanal. You have to really search for him, as we explained in the previous shiur. That while a tzaddik is living, it's a major, major struggle to get close to him and to draw from his Ruach HaKodesh, to get the tzaddik to be willing to share and give over the secrets, the awareness of Hashem and the depth of the Torah that the tzaddik has. After the tzaddik passes away, it's much harder, but it can be done if a person really searches very, very hard in the Sforim of the tzaddik and among the students and children of the tzaddik. We said the person can definitely draw that Ruach HaKodesh, that great light. Paragraph Chav Beis. V'zeh b'yatzmoy b'chinas mashekosov etzel Elisha. And this is exactly what we find written about Elisha Hanavi, kishenestalik mimenu Eliyahu la'shamayim. When his rabbi was leaving him, when his rabbi was taking leave and going up to heaven in a fiery chariot. Remember, Elianovi did not experience death. Elianovi was not buried. Elianovi went up to heaven in a fiery chariot, as it says in the Navi. So it says there, Vayake es hamayim, that Elisha Navi struck the water. Vayoyimar, and he said, Aye Hashem Elokei Eliyahu. Where is the Hashem of my rabbi, Elianovi? Afu vayake samayim. My rabbi Elianovi did this. He struck the water, vayechotsu, and they split. So I'm praying to Hashem that Hashem should do it for me too. And the Torah says, sure enough, immediately the waters split for Elisha, Hanovi. Vayoimru. And all the other students, all the prophets that were there said, Nocho Ruach Hashem al Elisha. We see that the Holy Spirit of Hashem, which was with our Rabbi Elianovi, has now been transferred and is now resting on Elisha Novi. Ki Elisha bikesh v'chipes es kedushas Elio Rabbi Koroi gam achar estalkusoi. Because Elisha Novi searched and sought out the holiness of his Rebbe Elianovi the right way. Even after Elianovi passed away, Elisha Novi knew he's a tzaddik, he's alive. I have to draw, I have to beg Hashem, I have to try to draw that Ruach HaKodesh from him. V'omar, and Elisha Novi said, Aye Hashem Elokei Eliyahu. Where is the Hashem of my Rebbe, of Elianovi? Meaning, he knew that he was still dependent on his connection to Elianovi, that his connection to Hashem was going through his Rebbe, and by affirming that and strengthening that, Hashem would give him whatever powers he needed. V'zocho be'emes shechotzu esamayim b'nes godol kol kach. And therefore, Elisha Novi was actually zoche, that he did split the waters in such a great miracle. V'gila emuna selukusi es bar boilam. And he showed the world that there's a Hashem, that there's a power above nature, that there still exists the power, that Hashem has the power through tzaddikim to perform miracles. V'nocha olav ruach elio, and the Holy Spirit of Elianovi was transferred on to Elisha Novi. Avol shar b'nei hanaviim, listen carefully here. But the other students of Elianovi, the other prophets, what did they do? When they saw Elianovi leave, what did they do? Did they turn, did they look to see who's his closest student? And let's see how we can get close to him? No, they didn't do that. They said, Yelchuna v'yivakshu esadaynecha. They said to Elisha Novi, let's go look for Elianovi. Let's go send out a search party to search for him. V'amu Rabbi Seinuzal, and the Gemara tells us, Mikan Shehischil Ruach HaKodesh lehistalik mehem kishenistalik Eliyahu la'shamayim. From here we see that the Holy Spirit that was with these students while Elianovi was alive started to leave them. They were lost. They had no idea what to do. A search party. What are you, nuts? Search party. You can search the whole earth. You ain't going to find them, buddy. He ain't down here anymore. He's in the penthouse. Hainu kanal, as we said before, ki b'nei, as we said before regarding Moshe Rabbeinu in the previous year, ki b'nei hanavim hispalu eich shayach sheyistalek v'yisalem Eliyahu shehoyogodol benevua kol kach. They made the same mistake that the Jews in the desert made when Moshe Rabbeinu reported that Aaron HaKohen had passed away. The Jews refused to believe it. It's a lie. It's not true. You're hiding him. We're going to kill you. Remember? Because they said it's impossible. Aaron HaKohen was able to stop a plague. He was able to stop a bullet, a machine gun. Hashem pointed a machine gun at Klal Yisrael and was ready to wipe them all out. And Aaron HaKohen stood in front of the machine gun with the Ketoris and was able to stop it. You're going to tell us that the angel of death took him? Impossible. They refused to believe it. And here also, the students of Ilyanovi were also, Hispalu, they were amazed. How is it possible that Ilyanovi should leave? Ilyanovi, who was so great a prophet, va'amru, and therefore they said, Shebavadai hu nimtza dayin boilam. He's here. He's in Florida. He's in Aruba. We just have to go look for him. He's not here right now, but he's got to be somewhere else down here. V'hiftziru be'elisha. And they insisted, they put pressure on Elisha Navi, sheyishlach anoshim levakshoi, that Elisha Navi should send out a search party to look for Elisha Navi. V'huchroch Elisha lamalois ritzoinam. And Elisha Navi, just like in the case of Moshe Rabbeinu with the spies, when the Jews insisted that they wanted to send spies to check out the land, Moshe Rabbeinu was forced to comply. Here also, Elisha Navi was forced to fulfill their request, lishloach levakshoi, to send people to search for Elisha Navi, shelayomru, that they shouldn't say, ha, ha, ha. Sure, Elisha Navi probably locked them up somewhere because he wants to take over. He wants to be the boss. K'moshom Rabbi Seinusal, as the Gemara says, avol bikshu, however, they did search v'loimotsu, and they didn't find him, not in Florida, not in Aruba. Ki be'emes shogu b'nei hanavim harbe bozeh. Because the truth is, these other prophets made a big mistake with this. Afal pi shehoyu nevi'im u'bali ruach hakodesh. Even though they were prophets, we're not talking about little boys, we're talking about great tzaddikim, prophets. They had ruach hakodesh. Ki loy kach tzrichin levakesh. Because that's not how you search for the tzaddik. When the tzaddik leaves, rak tzrichin lehischanein harbe lefnei Hashem yisborach, but rather you have to plead and beg Hashem, ulevakeish ulechapes kiddushosoy, and to search for the holiness of the tzaddik, alidei limud toirosoy akdoisha, by studying his Torah, by reviewing everything he taught you, and going over it again and again, and going deeper inside of it. And through a multitude of tefillah, by begging Hashem, where is the tzaddik? Where is the light of the tzaddik? How can I draw the light of the tzaddik now? Kemoshekosev, as it says in a different place, Vayizkor yemei oilam Moshe amoi, aye hamale miyom. And they remembered the days of old, the days of Moshe Rabbeinu and his people. And they said, where is the one? Where is the Moshe Rabbeinu who took them out of the sea? Va'oz daika. And when a person searches properly, the right way, through a lot of tefillah, and studying the Torah, that tzaddik, va'oz daika yucha limtzoi kedushas ruach kodshoi, then the students will succeed in finding the ruach hakodesh of the tzaddik, kemoi she'oso Elisha. By following exactly the path that Elisha Navi did. She'omar, what did he do? He turned to Hashem and he said, Aye Hashem Elikei Elio, where are you Hashem, the Hashem of my Rebbe? Because he didn't forget his Rebbe. He was still searching for Hashem through his Rebbe. V'zocho be'emes, shenochol of ruach Eliyahu. And through this, Elisha Navi was zoche in reality, in truth, that the Holy Spirit of Elisha Navi came on him in full, to the maximum degree that was possible. To the point where the Torah tells us that Elisha Navi was able to perform double the amount of miracles as Eliyahu Navi. Eliyahu Navi brought one person back to life, Elisha Navi brought double that. With this, we conclude this section of the halacha. Now Rav Nosson Zal brings us back down to earth, talking about money matters. We're in Choshen Mishpat now, and again, tying it into everything we've been learning now. Paragraph Chav Gimel. V'zeh b'chinas masa umatan. All of this is tied into the concept of doing business. B'chinas kinyan sudar. And also, a special type of kinyan, a special type of way where transactions are consummated, where ownership is transferred from one person to the other through a garment, via a garment. Somebody takes a handkerchief or something out of his pocket, and you hold on, and they both hold on to it at the same time, or the person lifts it up and puts it down, and through that act of lifting up the handkerchief and putting it down, that's referred to as a kinyan, a type of kinyan. Shal yidei ze ikar kol hakinyonim. And we know the Shulchan Aruch tells us that nowadays, this kinyan sudar is the most popular of the kinyonim, transferring through by holding on to a garment. Shelo yuchlu l'shano yisoid, whereby once that kinyan is made, both parties can no longer change their mind. Nobody can go back on the deal. Ki kol hamasa umaton hu levarer nitzoytzei hu emuna. Because the whole purpose of all business that's conducted and transacted is to sort out the sparks of faith in Hashem that have fallen into gashmias, into all kinds of darkness. Ki yesh b'kol chayfetz sheba'olam b'chinas nitzoytzos hakdoshim. Because within every single article in this physical world are found holy sparks. Shehein bechinas nitzoytzei hu emuna kdoisha, which are referred to as sparks of emuna. In some places, it's referred to as sparks of the Shechina or Malchus. Another word for Shechina, another word for Malchus is emuna. Utzrichin levararum, and we have to sort them out and purify them. Shebishvil ze kol hamasu umaton. That's really the underlying spiritual reason behind all business that's being transacted in the world. Kamesha Kosu, as the Gemara says, when a person comes before the heavenly court, they ask him, did you conduct business properly? So what's the word that they use? Nososo venosato be'emuna. Did you conduct business in a trustworthy manner? The word emuna is being used. And as Rabbeinu Zal discusses this in many places in the Likutei Moran, this concept of the holy sparks that are found within all kinds of articles in the world, and those holy sparks need to be elevated, and they are different, they need to interact with different people, so that by the connection of this person with this car, during the time that he's using the car, he elevates certain sparks. Then he sells the car to somebody else. That person has the ability to elevate certain other sparks in there that couldn't be elevated through the first person, and that's why there has to be a transfer of ownership. It's got to go over to the second person, and he owns it for a certain period of time, and he works on elevating his portion. Ukvar mevura, and we explained already earlier, she'ikar hu emuna hu al yedei birur hamedame, that the way that a person comes to real emuna is by being able to fix, to repair the medame. Medame is confusion. Medame is where good and bad are mixed together. Shezeh nase al yedei hamasu umatn. And that is accomplished through business. Shenoisim venoisnim bachafotzim ubemois. Where people buy and sell different articles and money. Umoichrin v'koinim, they buy and sell. Umachlifin zebozeh, and they barter, they exchange. Shekol ze na seikroi al yedei hamedame. All of this business and all of this transactions take place because of medame, meaning sheboi kol hachamisha chushim. Medame is involved in all five senses of the person. seeing, smelling, hearing, touching, all the five senses. Shehim horus vashema shal yodo inasin kol ha'asokin, by which all kinds of transactions are accomplished. Person sees something he likes and he decides to buy it. Or he hears about a certain deal and he says, wow, I want to be in that deal. Ki koyach ha'sechel ho'emiti, shehu sechel ho'iyuni, hu rochoik mikol ze kanal. Rav Nosal says, because the inner part of a person's brain, which is spiritual, which is holy, has nothing to do with cars and boats and all of that shtuyot, all of that nonsense. The inner part of a person's brain, which is soul, which is neshama, has no connection at all whatsoever with the materialistic world. Rak hamedame, it's only medame, which is the outer layer of the person's brain, as we discussed pages ago, when Rav Nosson Zal went into a deep discussion explaining what medame is. That medame is like a messenger of the seichel. The seichel itself is pure ruchni, is purely spiritual. The seichel has this bozo, this gopher, called medame. Whenever the seichel realizes that it must have some contact with the physical world, materialistic world, it sends Johnny, it sends the medame, that part of seichel, to go look and hear and smell and taste and have some kind of involvement with the materialistic world. V'alkein, and therefore, ikar ha-kinyin, hu'alidei kinyin sudar, shubeh begonim. That's why the main way of completing a deal is through kinyan sudar, which involves an article of clothing. Ki habegodim v'halavushim shorosha mebechinas hadimyoinois hamevuarim shon. Because clothing and coverings are rooted in the dimyoinois that Rabbeinu Zal discusses over there in chapter 8 in the second half of Likut Imran, which this entire halach is based on. Shehem hatorim v'hashvachim she'onu medamim bohem es Hashem Yisborach, whereby Rabbeinu Zal there speaks about the adjectives, the descriptive terms that we use to describe Hashem and to define Hashem and to refer to Hashem. We know that Hashem has no body. We have no concept at all about what Hashem is. So then. But if that were the case, and if it were left at that, we would have no way in the world of discussing Hashem or relating to Hashem. So Rabbeinu Zal says there on the Kutim Aran that Hashem, with His infinite kindness, decided to allow us to use words like kindness, justice, to use all of these terms to refer to Hashem. Lo Hagevura, that we say the Torah was given mipi Gevura, from the powerful one. These terms that Hashem allowed Himself to be cloaked. These are like garments. That's not Hashem Himself. The term chesed is not Hashem. The term gvura is not Hashem. All of these words. The term Elohim is not Hashem. These are all coverings. These are levushim and titles and terms that Hashem allows us to use by which to relate to Him, by which to describe Him and be able to relate to Him. So again, Rav Nosson Zal says, these are a type of medame. Medame means, medame is also something to compare. In other words, we say that an ape, when somebody wants to mimic somebody else, they want to copy somebody else, they say, stop aping me. Because an ape, in some ways, appears similar to a human being. And yet we know an ape is not a human being. And a human being, most human beings aren't apes. We know there are human beings that are worse than apes, lower than apes. But here, this concept of medame, this concept of something that's similar to something, a much lower level, but by which we can relate to the thing on a much higher level. Kemoshekos of Shom, as Rabbeinu Zal writes over there in Likut Imran, al posuk bakese leyoim chagenu. When Rabbeinu Zal, at the end of that chapter in Likut Imran, is interpreting the pasuk bakese, the word bakese means covering up, liyoyim chagenu, regarding the holiday of Rosh Hashanah, when the moon is covered up, and Rabbeinu Zal shows that the word chagenu also means this concept of
of giving a title or applying words to something where the words are only a description. They're not really the actual thing, but they're a description of the thing.
Ayin Shom B'Soif HaTorah Nal. Look at the end of the Torah, Tikku Teichocha, chapter 8 in the second half of Likutei Moharan. Ve'elu ha-to'orim va-shvochim, these titles and praises that we use about Hashem, heim heim b'chinas ha-demyoinois she-hanaviyim. These are also the imaginations of the prophets. Meaning, when a prophet had a vision, where we say he saw Hashem, what do you mean he saw Hashem? You can't see, there's no concept of seeing Hashem. Hashem ain't seeable. He ain't no physical, is a... So then what does it mean when it says? It means, again, he saw a dimyon. He saw a fantasy. He saw something, an imagination, something in his imagination, which was a representation of Hashem. It was symbolic of Hashem. As the Pasuk says, Shemidamin boyam Hashem Yisborach, through which the prophets are able to perceive Hashem. Bechinas, as the Pasuk says, which Rabbi Nizal brings over there, Ubiyad hanevi'im adameh. That within, in the hands of the prophets, adameh. I appear, Hashem says, but again, I appear in this imaginative form. Like a person in a dream. A person has a dream and he sees something in a dream. Did he see the actual thing? Of course not. But he did see. I saw. What do you mean? I did see. You saw? But it was a dimyoin, it was imagination, it was medama. And even the holy prophets, when they had visions of Hashem, their vision was a type of medama, a level of medama. Asher alkein, whereby therefore, ikar biror hamedama shel kol adam, hurak al yidei ruach nevua, ruach hakodesh. And that's why, in order for us to perfect and correct our medama, which is Mishka Babel, which is all kinds of imaginary fantasies and all kinds of narishkeit, in order for us to improve and repair and elevate our medama, the only way to do it is through prophecy and Ruach HaKodesh. Ki rak hanevim ubali Ruach HaKodesh yoidim be'emes ledamo isoisa yisborach. Because it's only the prophets and those tzaddikim who have Ruach HaKodesh, they know how to perceive Hashem, how to imagine Hashem. Meaning, you get one of us who walks into an ice cream store that has 36 kinds of ice creams and 45 toppings to the ice creams. And a guy comes in and the guy says, this is paradise. This is bliss. This is Hashem. This is G-O-D. And we know in actuality, the guy's nuts. That's an insult, that's incredible insult to paradise. If that were paradise, forget about it. Paradise is something where we're told every second, every nanosecond, it changes. There's new pleasure. Here you walk in, you're limited, 36 flavors. So you'll eat all 30. You'll eat them and you'll eat them for a year until it's coming out of your ears and nose. And then you'll never ever be able to look at an ice cream again. You'll be allergic to ice cream. Whereas Lahavdil, Gan Eden, or Hashem, is something totally different. So here again, our medama, our perception of paradise, of the ultimate, here again, the Coca-Cola that they're describing now is the ultimate. They came up with an incredible chiddush now, that they couldn't find anything possibly good to say about Coca-Cola, because the world is finding out that this thing is poison, plus square in every kind of type poison. So, but they have to advertise it, otherwise people are going to forget it. It'll become extinct. It'll become like the fossils. So they came up with a new marketing strategy. Instead of the 1.5 liter bottle of Coca-Cola, which was sold all over Israel for the past 30 years, a new thing, a chiddush. There's a chiddush now that you can get it in a 1 liter bottle and in a 2 liter bottle. Could you imagine? And this is, and they're spending billions of dollars in radio time, television time, news. This is all over the place. This something new. Something new has struck the world, has come to Israel. Brand new. People can experience a whole new
Your Israel experience is going to be something totally different now because Coca-Cola has come out with a new bottle. Could you imagine what level we are on? What kind of morons, what kind of less-offs, what kind of nuts we are perceived to be, that they're not ashamed and embarrassed to be selling this, that this is how they're going to get at us. And the fact that they're putting the billions of dollars in it is because it works. Because the majority of the world is crazy enough, nutty enough, is that the medame is so messed up that they hear the word new and they hear a jingle and they hear the guy in the advertisement so excited. He's excited, mamish, like, again, like he struck gold. He got to paradise. He came to paradise, came back, and he's bringing us, mamish, a treat direct from Gan Eden, the new 1 liter bottle of Coke. This is the medame of the standard person in this world. And therefore, Rav Nosson Zal says, the only way in the world for us to repair, to get to real medama is by coming into contact with a Navi or a Tzaddik. They can give you an idea. They can give you a taste. If you're Zoicha, they can bring you close to Torah and mitzvahs and tefillah where you could get a taste of paradise or to Shabbos, to experience a real Shabbos, which is called Me'ein Olam Haba. There you're getting a billion miles closer to what Olam Haba, what Gan Eden is, what Hashem really is. V'al yedei zeh yesh lahem koyach levarer hamedame shel kol hanilv maleim. And because the prophets have been zoicha to Ruach HaKodesh and to this nevuah, this close, that they have really, they come as close to Hashem as you possibly can, they have the ability to repair, to cure our medame of all those that are attached to them, nilv malim, shayidei zeh ikar hu emuna kanal. And Rabbeinu Zal shows there on the Likutei Moran that when your medame is completely repaired, then you can experience real emuna. V'chol elu hademyoinois hein bechinas levush av yisporach. And all of these descriptions and all of these imaginations and everything, they are kaviyochel Hashem's clothing, Hashem's garment. That's the external, that's the most external and exterior representation of Hashem. Bechinas, as the Pasuk says, Hashem moloch geyus lovesh. Hashem rules and he cloaks himself in glory. So again, the Malchus, which is the lowest aspect of Hashem. This world is referred to as the kingdom of Hashem, the Malchus, the lowest. What is it? It's lovesh, it's a garment. It's not really Hashem. You're seeing the most exterior representation of Hashem. In a flower, a person looks at a flower and studies the growth of a flower and watches this thing every second under a microscope, watching how this thing is evolving. And the person says, wow, this is just unbelievable. This is Hashem. And the answer is, it is. That is Hashem. But you're seeing the levush of the levush. You're seeing a garment of a garment of a garment of a garment. You're seeing Hashem in the most exterior, in the lowest form, in a sense. Shehanevim bechinas tzadike yemes. Medamin umalbishin emita selikusim emshalti yisborach. The prophets, who represent the true tzaddikim, they are the ones who cloak the true essence of Hashem and the true kingdom of Hashem in all kinds of titles and praises and imaginations, kidei sheyia nitpas belibenu, in order to be able to communicate it to us, to have a way of giving us a perception of the true light and glory of Hashem, the true eternal light and glory of Hashem. Umishom shoyresh ha'elyon shel halavushim. And it's from there, that's the origin of this whole concept of garments and clothing. Ki koydem chet adam rishon. Because before Adam and Chava ate from the Eitz Hadas, lo hayu shum levushim. There were no garments. There was no clothing. There were no coverings. K'mo shekosav, as it says, vayu shneim arumim. They were both naked. No clothing.
Ki oyer hasagosam hoisegedoilo v'neflo moid moid. Because the level, their level of understanding of Hashem was so incredibly, incredibly high. Whereby Adam and Chava were able to relate to Hashem on the highest level without any filters, without any garments, without any coverings whatsoever. And therefore, that's what made it that on a physical level, they had no need for clothing or coverings at all whatsoever. Whereas after the eight from the Eitz Hadas, and the Pasuk says, V'odom bikor bal yolim, that Odom wasn't even allowed to spend the night bikor in the preciousness in Gan Eden. He got thrown out, you know, the first day. V'higbir hamedame ala seichel, and because he ate from the Eitz Hadas, which is toivora, good and bad, which is Mishke Babel, that medame now took over the seichel. Originally, Adam and Chava had pure seichel. They had a clarity, a level of clarity, of seeing Hashem and knowing everything and understanding everything correctly. Now, because of Eitz Hadas, this cloud of medame, of confusion, of twilight, covered everything. Azai tikunoi hoya alidei levushim. And once that happened, the tikun required clothing, garments. Bechinas, as it says, Vayas Hashem alakim l'odom alishtoi kosnasoir, that Hashem made for Adam and Chava garments of leather, of oir, or skin, Vayal bishem, and Hashem dressed them. Ki huchrach kaviyochoi lahalbish yediyas alikusoi bekama vekama dimyoinois shel hanaviim, because Hashem was forced to cover up the understanding, the true understanding of Hashem, with all kinds of coverings and dimyoinos, comparisons and comparable terms that the prophets use. Shehim bechinas levushim, which are garments in a sense. Kemuva bezoyer HaKodesh, as the Zoyer HaKodesh tells us. Umuva bedvareinu b'mokam achar, as Rav Nosson Zal explains in other places. Umishom nishtal shelu gam halavushim agashmim shel kol adam. And that eventually spiraled down and was the cause behind the whole garment industry, behind the fact that we on earth have to wear clothing. Ki kol dovor yeshloi shoyresh lamala. Kayadua, because everything in the physical world has a source, is rooted somewhere above in the spiritual world. V'alkein, and therefore, al yidei kinyan sudar, through this kinyan, by transacting things, by using an article of clothing, shehu belavushim, ayidei ze nigmar hamekach shlo yishanoid. That's what seals the deal, that the two parties should not be able to back out anymore. Nobody can change the transaction anymore. Ki hamalbush sharoshoy milavushim elyonim kanal. Because the garments, the clothing here on earth, are rooted in the heavenly garments. Shehim bechinas hademyoinois shel hanaviim, of which an example of that is the imaginations of the prophets, the visions of the prophets. She'al yodom ikar biror hamedame, which is what gives these prophets, these tzaddikim, the ability to help us repair our medame. She'ayidei zeh hu emunah b'shleimus, which allows us to be able to achieve a level of perfection of emunah, as we explained earlier. And that's what makes the main tikkun for business. What's the main tikkun in business? Trustworthiness. That a word is a word. That if a person gives his word that he's going to do something, he does what he says. I'm buying it for this price. I'm paying this price. If I find out somebody else is charging cheaper, it has nothing to do with me. I gave my word. I committed myself to buying it. That's it. That's called emunah, trustworthy. A word is a word. Kikol hashinuyim shebemasumatan, because all of the changes that take place in how people conduct business, hakoil al yedei bilbul hamedame shupegam emuna. Rav Nosson mentioned this once before in Likutei Halachos, is all the result of people having a confused medame. Their medame is messed up, and as a result of that, they don't have emuna. They're not trustworthy. They're not honest.
ki bevadai be'emes tzorech odom lamad bedibura afilo b'loikinyan. Because, of course, a Jew, a real Jew, should be able to keep his word 100%, even if he didn't make a kinyan. If he said he's going to do something, that's enough. Kinyan, no kinyan. K'moshom Rabbi Seinu Zal, as the Gemara says, regarding this, kol hamekayim diburoi ruach hachamim noichimenu, that any person who keeps his word, the rabbis like that person, they respect that person, even if he didn't make a kinyan. Ach machma shal pi roiv, ein hamedame mevoirar. However, unfortunately, because in the majority of the world, people's medames are not so good, are not pure and perfect. Shemishom kol hashinuyim. And that's what causes people to go back and forth, to change their mind. Shehem b'chinas pigam emuna, which reflect a defect in emuna. Because the opposite, what's the opposite of emuna? Sofek, wavering. Remember, Elianovi said to the Jews, how long are you yo-yos going to keep going back and forth? One day you're religious, one day you're not. One day you believe in Hashem, one day you don't. So the opposite of emunah is doubt. Doubt means going back and bouncing back. I'm not sure. Is it this? Is it that? Should I do this? Should I do that? That's the opposite of emunah. What is emunah? We say on the prayer on Rosh Hashanah, Havadai Shemoi Kein Tehilosoi. Hashem's name is Vadai. Hashem is definite, decisive. Hashem Echod. There's no two. There's no yes and no. There's only one. It's all about oneness. Al kein tiknu chachamenu zal kinyan suder. That's why our rabbis established this kinyan suder. Shenimshach mi levushim el yoinim, which draws its power from heavenly garments. Shehim b'chinas birur hamedame, which are related to this perfection, this repairing of the medame, shaydeze tiknu biruhu emuna, through which we get to repair evi emuna, veshuv lo yeshanu oid. And once that's repaired, once we repair the medame and the emuna, then the person's not going to change his mind. He's not going to go back on his word. Hold it over here.